Good day again, everyone. Today, we'd like to talk to you about the problem of nursing in America, and I have with me Mary Grace Simcox, president of the Lancaster General College. But before we begin the interview, I'd like to say a few words about the current problems of nursing in America. Everyone knows there's a national shortage of nurses, but unless something is done, it will get even worse as the U.S. population ages, even while aging nurses retire. Of the more than 2.5 million registered nurses in the United States, only about 60% work full-time. There are an estimated 100,000 vacant nursing positions now. Over the next 10 years, the shortfall has been estimated to increase to 400,000. And if nothing is done to increase supply, by 2020, the shortage may reach 800,000. The stopgap measure of recruiting nurses from foreign countries such as the Philippines cannot possibly meet our long-term needs, even if it isn't the brain drain that some fear it to be. That's enough of an overview of the national scene. Here in Pennsylvania, last year's report by the Department of Labor and Industry produced some striking numbers. In a survey by the Department of Health, 46% of the RNs who responded indicated an intention to leave nursing in 5 to 10 years. That's almost half of the RNs who responded. In 2004, there were only 4,500 RN graduates in Pennsylvania, compared with 6,000 a decade earlier. And even that figure of 4,500 was already a 30% increase from the year before, which had been even worse. Finally, 23% of all RNs in Pennsylvania choose not to work in healthcare. Of course, the best solution is to increase the domestic supply of nurses, which will require initiatives that not only make nursing a more attractive occupation, but remove barriers in the education process. Lancaster General Hospital is particularly sensitive to this challenge because its success in expanding its service area and in serving an ever larger share of patients in that service area has intensified its need for nurses and forced it to temper its expansion until it can staff all the beds it needs. As is well known, LGH has always relied on its own nursing school to help meet its need for nurses. But in addition to the broad issues we've mentioned that apply everywhere, changes in the career aspirations of women in general and nurses in particular, have put hospital-based so-called diploma schools, such as Lancaster General used to have, at a particular disadvantage in attracting top applicants. Leaders of the nursing profession advocate the bachelor's degree in nursing rather than the RN degree, and an increasing number of nurses want to enroll in a course of study that leads directly to an eventual bachelor's degree. During the last decade, Lancaster General has addressed the problem of increasing the supply and the quality of nursing students by accommodating their quest for an eventual bachelor's degree. All this has been accomplished in a creative way that, although it may not be unique, it's certainly uncommon, particularly in the Northeast. I'm referring to the transition of the Lancaster General Diploma School to an accredited college, a change that has only been accomplished by 22 diploma schools nationwide and no others in Pennsylvania. This not only required vision, but a strategic plan. The transition began with the establishment of the Lancaster Institute for Health Education, or LIHE, in 1995 to encompass LGH programs not only in nursing, but also in various medical technologies such as sonography, radiology, respiratory therapy, surgical technology, nuclear medicine, cardiovascular technology, and medical laboratory technology. The next step was to transition LIHE, the Lancaster Institute for Health Education, into a fully accredited junior college that grants an Associate in Science degree in nursing and an Associate in Applied Science degree for allied health students, with credits that are transferable toward a bachelor's degree at other institutions of higher education. As I mentioned earlier, I'm very pleased today to have with me Mary Grace Simcox, who has been leading the school through its metamorphosis since 1997. Before coming here, Mary Grace was the Director of Nursing Education at Roxboro Memorial Hospital School of Nursing in Philadelphia, and she has spent her entire career in nursing education in eastern Pennsylvania. Though her current title is President of the Lancaster General College, obviously she could not have been president of the college before there was a college. So as the school advanced toward full accreditation, her leadership titles changed from Dean of Nursing and Director of LIHE to President of the college since 2002. Mary Grace, welcome to the Journal microphone.
Good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, your own educational background and your responsibilities in nursing education are truly exceptional, and as I was reading your CV, it seemed to me that it summarized the accomplishments of what should have been more than one person. Your education also followed the pathway we're now offering to our nursing students, because you started with an associate degree in nursing, followed by a BSN 6 years later, then an MSN, and finally a doctorate in education in 1998, and somewhere in there you found time to raise a family. When you started out in nursing, did you really plan to go this far? Was that your objective?
Absolutely not. I went to nursing school when I was 17. My goal at the time was to be a pediatric nurse. I never found pediatrics in my profession. Went into medical surgical nursing and critical care, and as a result, got involved in the education of the staff within a hospital and worked with staff development. One of the times when I was presenting a session, nursing students happened to be in the audience along with their instructors. And at that point, I was approached and asked if I would consider a role in nursing education. And the rest is history.
Well, it's very good history from our standpoint, obviously. Now, when you came to Lancaster in 1998, LIHE, the Lancaster Institute for Health Education, was already established. Did you have plans for LIHE aside from the issue of nursing? I mean, it was obvious even then that America needed more nurses. So did you come here with the objective of changing LIHE into what it is now?
Actually, when I came here in 97, I came to be responsible for the School of Nursing, not LIHE. And it was only 7 months after I started that I was asked to consider being responsible for the entire institute. When I came here, my goal at the time was to help a nursing school that was in the process of a major transition. It was changing from a 3-year diploma school, very traditional, 33 months out of 36 the students were here, and going to a 2-year program that very much looked like an associate degree format, in that the students came in August, were gone in May, and had the summers off. So I came with the intent of helping them through that transition, having done that at the school that I was at previously, and I knew the pitfalls, I knew the challenges that lied within that whole transition process. So my goal was to make that a successful transition for the nursing school. And then I was asked to take on LIHE. Was not in my plans at all. And once responsible for the entire institute, I was asked to do a business plan and to determine what it was that was needed to move the institute forward and actually plan for its survival in the long run. It was at that point, after a year of intensive soul searching, that the faculty decided that degree granting was the way to go.
So that the original impetus for developing the capability of granting a degree actually came from the faculty.
Yes.
Not from the hospital administration.
No.
Well, that's something I think that our listeners would find very interesting. I mean, it's just one more illustration of the fact that we have a terrific faculty here. In other words, what I'm getting from you is they're not only steeped in the essence of nursing education, but they have vision as well.
They do. And a large percentage of the faculty, the nursing faculty in particular, are graduates of our nursing program. So not only are they vested in education, but they're vested in the very program that they have a responsibility to it as an alumni, as well as faculty.
Now, then it would seem to me that the logical next step was that it was the nursing school that went to the administration and said, we'd like you to consider this particular pathway rather than the other pathway.
And that's what happened. Actually, I went to the board at the hospital and presented several options to them, and then gave the major recommendation, that being that the faculty strongly suggested that we look at degree-granting opportunities. And we were fortunate enough to have a board that had the foresight to see the importance of going that route and allowed us to explore the feasibility and then eventually actually establish the college.
Okay, well, now that we are on that pathway and the board has approved it, the administration has approved it, it was not a straightforward process. I mean, you encountered, I know because I actually was on the board in those days, and also I'm on the board of the nursing college now. I guess we should say that from the standpoint of full disclosure. And the road to accreditation has been a long and a winding one, full of roadblocks and barriers. And at one time or another, and I actually wrote these down because I couldn't possibly remember them all, you had to get approval from the Pennsylvania Department of Education, the State Board of Nursing, the Middle States Commission on Higher Education. You had to get changes made in the professional nursing law, and you had to get an exception from the Center for Medicaid and Medicare and Medicaid Services. Could you just tell me if you realized in advance that it was going to be that complicated?
I think it's probably good that we didn't, because I'm not sure we would have gone down the road, had we. I think we were cautiously optimistic about being able to do it. We knew that we faced a challenge in the Northeast. It had not been done before. But we also knew that there were several schools in the Midwest that had transitioned successfully. So we had those as allies. They certainly helped us in the process and identified for us some of their pitfalls. But nobody experienced what we experienced in this Commonwealth.
What such a what was the nature of all of the process? And if you can just take over the microphone and tell us about it.
We started after we did our business plan and got board approval to proceed to establish the college. We started working with the Department of Education. And in the year 2000. In 2001, we submitted formal application, and by December, the Secretary of Education had actually approved our articles of incorporation, and we became established as a college.
Now, let me interrupt for a moment and just make it clear to our listeners that a nursing school is not under the Department of Education, if it's
absolutely
a diploma
not.
School.
No.
So once you decide that you want to become a college, now you're an educational institution.
Right. So we needed to get Department of Education approval first and foremost. And we did that. And that was a relatively easy path. Having gotten Department of Education approval, we actually opened the college in 2002 and enrolled our first class of students. Unfortunately for us, it did not include the nursing students. That was the downfall.
Right. These are all your allied health students.
Right. So we opened with about 100 students and proceeded to establish a college, having to leave nursing in Leahy. At the time that the college was opened, we then contacted Middle States to get regional accreditation, which is absolutely critical for recognition as a college who has met certain standards or characteristics of excellence in the programs and services that it delivers to its faculty and students. So that was important to us. And we went through that process relatively quickly, was invited to self-study in 2005, submitted a self-study in February of 2006, had a site visit, and were anxiously awaiting commission action, which should happen June 22nd. So we're waiting for that. That process, although labor-intensive, was relatively painless. Then we have nursing.
Since you've mentioned a date, and not to confuse the audience, we're doing this interview on June 9th of 2006. So we're just a couple of weeks away from hopefully the final dotting the final I and crossing the final T.
Yes. Our nursing school, on the other hand, While we were establishing the college and getting all of the things in place for accreditation, we also struggled with all of the regulations that were prohibiting nursing from coming forward. We recognized early on, actually in 2000, 2 years before the college was established, that the State Board of Nursing regulations would not allow for the transition as we'd planned. Quite honestly, the regulations had been written quite a while ago, and they never really thought about a program opening like this, a diploma program transitioning into a college. Just so the regs didn't address it. We went to the State Board, asked them for some assistance or some grace period to allow us to be a pilot for them or something like that, and we literally got nowhere with them. So we
and that's in the face of a proposal that would help to solve the nursing shortage.
Absolutely.
Would create better educated nurses and potentially offer a role model for other institutions.
That's right.
But in their regulations, I assume they had that dreaded sentence in invisible ink that's in all regulations, never been done before.
That's right. And therefore can't be done. But we worked with the legislators, and we worked through the Hospital Association of Pennsylvania and actually was successful in getting the Nurse Practice Act altered. And within that Practice Act, the law then gave the power to the State Board to recognize programs in transition. Since the law superseded regulation, the State Board had no option but to allow us to move forward. So that was signed into law in 2004. We went before the State Board and asked if we could now come forward as an associate degree program. And we thought at that time our obstacles were done. But while we were battling State Board issues, CMS,
the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services,
they changed their regulations effective October of 2003. And in essence, the regulations prohibited any other hospital-based colleges from forming if those colleges existed outside the domain of the hospital, if the hospital did not have control of the employees, if the hospital did not have control of curricula, then the program and the new college would not be eligible for medical pass-through reimbursement.
Yeah, and let's make that clear, and you'll correct me if I'm mm-hmm. wrong, but just to summarize quickly for the audience, Medicare, in its payments to hospitals for the care that they render, incorporates some additional funds for those hospitals that have nursing education programs because there are expenses related to those programs, and it's a way, I guess, of federal support.
That's
for
right.
nursing education. But if the nursing education process is completely outside of the hospital's domain, its administrative authority, then why should Medicare be paying a hospital mm-hmm. to support nursing education that isn't part of the hospital?
That's correct.
So there was a catch-22. If you're not under the hospital, you cannot get Medicare reimbursement, which is a substantial sum of money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are under the hospital, you can't get accredited as a freestanding college.
That's right. And the Department of Education requires that you be freestanding.
Exactly.
And independent.
Right. So that's the dilemma that we faced.
That's right. We did petition CMS to be grandfathered in under the existing regs before they changed, pointing out to them that the only reason that the nursing school did not come to the college was because of standing state regulation that prevented us from doing it.
And prevented us from being grandfathered, mm-hmm. in other words.
Right. CMS graciously agreed to allow the nursing school to come under the standing regs before they were changed. And that then paved the way for us to go back to the Department of Ed, ask for permission for a new program, back to the State Board of Nursing to get curricular approval. And then we were able to bring the nursing program forward into the college in the fall of 2005.
Well, that's a story that I lived through as well, being on the board And that was a multi-million dollar letter, that simple little letter from Medicare that said they would grandfather us. If they had not had an older regulation that permitted the transition and would continue the payments, we really would have been in a situation that we might not have been able to work our way out of. I mean, it was fortunately what we were asking for was not some new idea. We were asking them to just allow us to be grandfathered, even though we were a little late asking for that.
That's true. The hospital would have had quite a dilemma on its hands with having established a college, but its major program was now not allowed to go into the college.
Right. Okay, now the bottom line. I mean, how has this accreditation process affected applications to the college and your plans for the class size to expand?
The accreditation is the icing on the cake that was needed. It allows the students to transfer credit from one institution to another without any kind of question as to how legitimate those credits might be. So it eases transition for those and actually makes for seamless transition from one institution to another. It provides federal financial aid for all of the students in the college. And so those two things in place then make it easier for us as a college to attract students here because they're protected by the education that they're getting, and they can, you know, move on to other institutions and so on. So it was crucial to us to get it. In terms of enrollment, we opened the college doors and had already, when LIHEA closed, LIHEA had under 200 students in it. 3 months later, we opened the college with 372 students. We're currently 4 years down the road and have 500 students in the college. So we have been very successful in attracting students. The college certainly has been a major draw in bringing students to us.
Yeah, but in terms of the number of nursing graduates that you will produce each year, what were we producing, let's say, 5 years ago, and what will we produce next year?
In the last 5 years, 5 years ago we graduated 70 students. 6 weeks ago, not even, we graduated 100 students. And we are in the midst of a three-year plan to increase the nursing enrollment of 138%. So we're going from approximately 220 nursing students to 500 nursing students in the college. So we expect that we're going to continue to produce better than 100 graduates per year.
Right. Obviously, 500 students doesn't translate into 500 graduates. That's 500 students spread out across the whole education process. Some don't complete it.
Right.
Some take a sort of time off for family reasons or whatever, et cetera. But you expect to be consistently producing more than 100 graduates a year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and this is obviously a result of the whole process being more attractive to applicants. As a final question, what do you see this kind of a process, what impact do you see this process having on the national scene? Do you expect this to become an increasingly common story?
I wish I could say that I did. I don't see it happening, not only with frequency, I don't see our story being told by others at all, and I think it goes directly to the changes in Medicare regulation. In order for a hospital to make the commitment to transition their diploma schools into colleges, they would have to also make a commitment to the loss of Medicare dollars. And for institutions, we're talking at $1 million or more per institution, quite honestly, depending upon the size of the institution. So for a hospital to make that kind of commitment, they'd have to have the financial wherewithal to be able to pull that off and pull it off for a period of years until the college could stand on its own and start to become self-sufficient in terms of finances. And I don't see that happening. We had a couple of area schools, at least schools in our Commonwealth, that wanted to join us in the transition, and they've all changed their plans now as a result of Medicare.
Okay, well, the only good news in that is, Mary Grace, that nobody is going to recruit you away from us to help them make this transition. So you're going to have to stay here, which I think we're all delighted with. So
I'm
thank
thrilled.
You very much for coming to talk with us today. This has been, I know, for the nursing college, an astonishing process to carry this off. And you and your faculty are all to be congratulated.
Thank you very much.